Snooze fest. It's a barn one.
The numbers kind of showed that. We'll touch on that a little bit later. But with Chris, it was not so boring. From what I've heard, I haven't heard the story, but he's been hyping it up to me all day. He wanted to share it on the podcast here. So,
oh man, no, I should have undersold and over delivered. Yeah. No, the actual game was very boring, but the couple days leading up to it and the actual Super Bowl party that I went to, oh boy, was that interesting. So to give a little recap here, I'm on just, you know, one of these dating apps, you know, trying to find love one swipe at a time. And I matched with this one girl who we were chatting, and she lives in the same apartment complex as I do. Like, I'm in building 400, she's in building 100. And we were just chatting and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, dope, we need to meet up. And like, I'm like, when are you free? Like Thursday, Friday, whenever. Mind you, this was like early in the week last week, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday. She's like, I'm free Thursday. I'm like, awesome. So Thursday rolls around and I'm, you know, I got to work late and it fucking sucks. And so we kind of cancel our plans or whatnot. I'm like, let's reschedule for the weekend. You know, let's aim for Saturday. Like I was like, I know there's a great pizza joint we can go check out. Let's go do it. And she's like, all right, awesome. So Saturday comes around or on Friday, then she kind of canceled plans on me. I'm like, really? All right. Fuck. So I'm like telling, like, this is like late Friday, so I'm like not thrilled. So that's why when I came to Hoop on Friday, I was actually a little pissed. And I was telling a coworker, he's like, you know what, man, forget it. Come to my Super Bowl party. You know, it'll be fun, blah, blah, blah. Get your mind off it. I'm like, all right. And maybe, you never know, maybe you'll be able to reconnect. And I'm like, all right, dope.
Was it a Super Bowl party at your apartment complex?
No, this was at a buddy's place downtown.
Okay.
So, you know, Saturday comes, rolls around, nothing. I send her like a little text and whatnot, and nothing. I got ghosted, man. Fucking Casper over here is fucking ignoring my messages. I'm like, God damn it. All right, whatever. It's not the first time, and it's not going to be the last, so I just kept on moving forward.
Keep shooting your shot.
So, yeah, always shoot your shot. So Sunday rolls around. Go over to to my buddy's place. And he's asking me all about it, about like, hey, like, did you ever meet up? I'm like, nah, dude, I didn't. She ghosted me. It's like, oh man, that fucking sucks. And his girlfriend's, oh, fuck her, forget her, you know. Yeah, I'm like, fuck her. And like, we were going and having a good time. And I shit you not, within 15 minutes of that conversation, the chick who ghosted me walked in. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And now I recognize her. And we were kind of across the living room. So I'm like, my buddy's like said her name or whatnot. And I'm like, oh fucking shit. You gotta be fucking kidding me. What are the fucking odds that this chick just is at this party? Like, I never hung out with them before. And then don't know what, like, I mean, it was just like, I'm like, oh God. So as awkward as I am, my buddy introduced me to her and I'm like, hi, I'm Chris. And she's like, hi. And then I'm like, oh, she doesn't know who I am. I'm like, oh my God. I could fuck with her. I don't know what this
is because Chris puts pictures of Channing Tatum on his Tinder profile, not him.
Well, that's
neither here nor there.
Channing Tatum. Hey man, I'm trying to catfish people out here. but no, that's like one of the funniest things. I'm like, so we're talking and stuff like that, and I'm trying to drop hints at like what I do. Like, basically, I'm having the same Tinder conversation
in person,
but in person, and I'm like, just waiting. I'm just waiting for her to click. I'm waiting, and then it finally does, and like you get her facial expression just drops. And it got real quiet, and we're both just so like, yeah. she didn't address it. I didn't address it. We just kind of went our separate ways. And for the rest of the night, we sat on opposite ends of the living room. Actually, I think I was in the dining room. They had two TVs set up and she was in the living room. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, what are the fucking odds that she shows up to this? And I'm like, I really should have fucked with her. Like, been like, just like, take wild guesses. And I'm like, wait a minute. Let me guess. You're from this area, but you moved. Like, maybe 4 years ago, but it was family that brought you back.
That's what, like, you play me. Like, and you're, I'm a, like, psychic. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, like psychic.
I do psychic work on the side. I can read your palm. Let me see your palm. I bet you can. I can tell you what happened.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You moved here 4 years ago. That would have been hilarious.
So, this is like the wildest freaking thing I've. You can't. I'm leaving the party. I'm like, my life is a TV show. Like, I can't make this shit up. And it's a good thing that, you know, she's wearing a TB12 jersey and she's like, I don't really like football or know it. And I'm like, I was a cheerleader, so I should probably know. And I'm like, so you're a bandwagoner. I'm like, that is like the worst. Yeah. So I was just one of the wildest things, like, at a random kid's house Super Bowl party. And then to finish up the story, I went back on to the app to see if we matched again, and to show another coworker about what happened, and she unmatched.
She unmatched you? I didn't even know that was possible.
Yep. So she definitely knew who I was.
It's like unfriending somebody.
Yeah, I'm like, I mean, both of us didn't have the stones, but I'm like, it's one of those situations. It's like, what do I fucking say? Like anything, I just look like a creepy stalker. Like, it's a good thing that I was there first and then she showed up. Otherwise, I would have been like, I followed you from the apartment complex
to the Super Bowl party.
To this Super Bowl party. You can't leave. You can't run away. It's just like, it's the creepiest fucking thing ever. And I'm just like, well, I come off as a creep.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh my God. I don't know. So pretty much that was my highlight.
Yeah, your Super Bowl is a lot more interesting at the house you're at than the actual game, it sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
so did you actually get to watch all the game, or did you?
Oh, yeah. No, I watched. I was in the dining room with a like own TV or whatnot. Like a couple other people were there, so it was cool.
Yeah, I just hung at home, did a normal thing that we did, and kind of just ate some good food and just hung out. Not anything big. It was just me and family. But man, I was getting so hyped before because I was hitting all of our prop bets that we were talking about. We hit the national anthem overs to start the game.
You got the
I said I was we were eating dinner as it happened. I said the Patriots are going to call heads. The coin's going to land tails. And I was like, watch. And then what happens? Patriots call heads. Coin lands tails. Oh, man. Everything was going so well. The Rams get an interception on the first drive. After that, went all downhill from there, man.
Yeah, it was a tough. It was just, I mean, you have 7 punts in a game. That's just bad. Like, I was on Instagram looking up all the memes and stuff that was coming through. It's like, can a punter win the Super Bowl MVP? Like, it's just a crazy. It was crazy to see the Rams kind of struggle offensively when they were just a juggernaut this entire offseason.
I got to give credit to where credit's due, man. Belichick put together a hell of a game plan. And it just makes you wonder, man. Like, yeah, Tom Brady's got his 6 rings, but he's been quite the game manager in a couple of those. He did not look great yesterday. I mean,
especially
if you look at the numbers, not that much. I mean, through the 0 touchdowns, 1 interception, not a lot of yards. Completion percentage was okay. But if you go back and look at all the Super Bowls he's played in, there hasn't really been one that he's kind of been all out on where he's just gone and torn it up, other than the ones where he's lost and he's had to throw the ball around the whole time. So
right.
I don't know. The Rams defense did a hell of a job too, I think. Got to give credit to Wade Phillips. He put together a hell of a game plan. Just Sean McVay, man. He got out-coached, simple as that. And I was surprised because the Rams, Jared Goff is one of the best. I think he's a top three passer in the NFL when it comes to man defenses playing man-to-man coverage, but he sucks in zone defense. Yes. Really? And then the Patriots, I believe, also suck when it comes to zone defense. So it was like weakness versus weakness, and the Patriots were just like, you know what? Or no, I'm sorry. Actually, I think that's right. Anyway, it was basically weakness versus weakness, and the Patriots were like, you know what? We're going to hope our weakness wins out. And they played zone the whole game, and they played zone on 62% of the snaps last night. I think they normally play man on 10%. So – or I'm sorry, zone on 10%. So the numbers were way up there, and that's why they ended up winning the game, is that they came on, they played well on defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's because I didn't expect Patriots having that great of a defense. Like,
especially with how good the offensive line has been for the Rams. That was, I think, the biggest thing that shocked me, was how good the offensive line of the Rams has been all year, and how average to below average the Patriots defensive line has been, yet they dominated that offensive line yesterday. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So, hey.
You got to give credit to where credit's due. Now, what do you think of Todd Gurley's underuse?
There's something wrong with him, man. There's no way that dude is healthy. Yeah. The way that he was being used all year. And I still think he was putting together some good runs. I don't know why they kept taking him out of the game. There was a couple. There was one that got called back on a hold, but I know he still had the majority of the carries. I think they still should have fed him the ball more, but I'm guessing his knee's in some not good shape. His ankle's probably all busted up. Those were the two injuries he was having. So,
yeah, I mean, it sucks to see, but I mean, God damn it, dude. The worst part is just hearing all the Boston fans.
They're going to get another parade in the same year because the Red Sox just won the World Series.
I know.
And then now here come the Patriots. Boston again. I hate Boston.
Fuck. It's just an awful. Yeah. Fucking awful. Yeah.
So I think what's pretty interesting is that the ratings are way down again. Well, not way down, but they're down again for the fourth consecutive year. The lowest rated Super Bowl since 2009, they said.
Really?
When the Cardinals.
Packers? Oh, yeah. Cardinals.
That was when Kurt Warner was there in Arizona. And you think that's kind of accurate. I mean, who really cares about the Arizona Cardinals?
True. So
my question to you is, and this also kind of ties in with the betting world. The sports betting was down about 8% from last year. I think the numbers were, I have it right here, off. It was $146 million in handle, total wager that they did this year in Nevada versus last year, about $156, $158, something like that. So they were totally expecting to break the record, but they felt about $8-10 million short. So, let me ask you this: what do you think is part of the reason that numbers are down, both for the betting world and in the viewers?
Well, I was going to say the viewer world. If you were just to tell me the ratings, why the ratings are down, I think more people are just not watching TV just in general. I mean, it would be tough to say. I can't imagine that many people like illegally streaming it because of cord cutting and whatnot. But I mean, I think it has to do with everyone's sick and tired of the Patriots. Why would you bet? Why would you get it bet against Tom Brady?
Yeah. Like,
at this point, I mean, but I think, to be honest, I think in general the NFL is just struggling with everything that's been going on, including like Kaepernick situation, the refs, and just everything that they're starting to lose that foot grip on everybody, and it's just not exciting anymore.
Yeah, and well, the ratings were up overall for the year. They were way up all season long, but I think what you said kind of hit the nail on the head there, where people are just sick of the Patriots. Yeah. Is number one. Two, nobody really gives a shit about the Rams, and this, I mean, so you got one team that everybody hates and then one team that nobody gives a shit about.
Even LA doesn't give a fuck about the Rams.
That's not a good recipe right there.
Yeah.
Even the Super Bowl tickets to get in were not that high, so it was pretty cheap to get in if you wanted to take it to the game. I mean, it wasn't cheap. It was still like $3,000, but cheaper than normal, I should say. And then also, I think you had a lot of fans from the two markets in the AFC and NFC championship that kind of felt a little disrespected that didn't tune in. Because I'm looking here, and let's see, pulling it up, where I guess the Saints pretty much like boycotted it. So last year, Kansas City ranked 10th with a 52.2 rating for the Eagles' victory over the Patriots. And this year, dropped to a 46.4 rating. So that's 20th of the top 56 markets. And then also New Orleans, oh boy, they really boycotted the Super Bowl. So they finished, there was 56 markets graded. They finished last, 56 out of 56, 26.1 rating. And then last year, New Orleans was the 7th ranked market at 53.
Oh, wow. They really?
Yeah. So
we're just like
pretty much. People. Can you guess the top three?
I'm going to say Boston's in there.
You're not going to guess the other two.
Michigan?
No. Still kind of stay on the East Coast. Not coast, but the states are on the coast.
Yeah.
Give you two more guesses.
Why do I fucking want to say Ohio?
That's not on the coast.
No, it's on a body of water. Oh. I'm going to say Maryland and South Carolina.
Richmond, Virginia. And number two, Buffalo, New York. Really? Yeah, I think they all just wanted to see the Patriots lose.
That's true. And it, well, actually, no, it wasn't that cold this week.
I know it was 45 degrees yesterday.
Hell, we got into the 60s today. But
what else do people have to do around here in this time of year? That's so true. Nothing. Yeah, the ratings were down, but man, New Orleans really took a boycott to the Super Bowl. They were not playing around.
I think with the Anthony Davis news, they just wanted to stay away from TV.
Yeah, it was
general.
A depressing couple of weeks to be a Saints or just a New Orleans fan in general. Yeah. So I can't blame them.
And it looks like they might not be getting a baseball team either.
Is it going to be where's their baseball team going to be?
There was talks about expanding, and I forget if they were one of the cities that was going to get one, but I think Portland might have edged them out, or Charlotte. I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, it doesn't seem like they're going to be. So yeah, it's a bad day to be someone from New Orleans.
But in terms of the betting handle, why that was down?
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It did when I kind of heard. I read a little bit more on that. So, couple things that have to play within the betting handle is you can bet. You know how you can bet in the game, during the game, like live wagering.
Yeah.
So, triggers that a lot is scoring. So, like Clemson, Alabama, live wagering was really high in that game because there was a lot of scoring. With this, there's not really a lot you can do because all that's going to happen is the total is just going to keep dropping throughout the game. spread's not going to change much. So you're just going to kind of stick with your bet that you already have. Right. You really don't have much you can bet on. So I don't think that's a whole $10 million there, but I think that's a good chunk of it.
No.
You also have some legalization in other sports now. So I don't know, maybe some people in New Jersey decided, hey, I don't have to go out to Vegas this year. I'll just, you know, plop down and bet here in New Jersey. So,
right.
I don't know. But the books did come out ahead. They won $10.8 million in Nevada. So 27 out of 29 straight years, they have won money on the Super Bowl. This year was more on the props than it was the actual game because they all needed the Patriots, but and the under. So the under really helped them a lot. But
oh, yeah.
A lot of people were betting Patriots and over. So if it would have went over, it probably would have been a totally different story. But New Jersey actually lost money. It says that they hear that they lost $4.5 million.
Shit.
Yeah, so not a good week, for New Jersey there. But,
fuck
we don't live there, so.
No, and my dad's from there, so fuck him. My taxes whole family.
Got to pay for that money somehow. The people win. But yeah, I just thought it was pretty interesting that those numbers were down. Another thing too that I've been seeing a lot today on all the debate shows, Julian Edelman, is he all of a sudden now a Hall of Famer because of this?
No.
Thank you.
No.
I agree.
And look at him. Look at him in, like, the regular season. He doesn't – no. No.
Yeah.
He's – I got to – so I can counter it with – would you say Wes Welker is one?
No, I don't think he is. And then somebody was telling me he has, like – if you look at his numbers, yes, he's really – his numbers are really high in the postseason. But I think that's also due to quantity of games that he's been able to play in, not quality as much. Yes, he had a good game yesterday, but – if you look at his numbers in the regular season, dude is about equivalent career of Michael Crabtree. So,
right.
I don't think Michael Crabtree is a Hall of Famer. I would not put Julian Edelman in the Hall of Fame just because he won the MVP of the Super Bowl yesterday. I mean, all Deion Branch and Michael Smith got to go in the Hall of Fame too. So, get out of here with that garbage.
I mean, I'll counter it too. Would you put Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, I would put Eli in the Hall of Fame.
Even though he hit, you know, two Super Bowl MVPs.
Yes, I mean, he's got pretty decent numbers for his career.
That's true. I mean, but it could a lot of that be compiling
just because he's played so long
and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, you.
Because
it's also a totally different generation nowadays with passing. Because, I mean, Troy Aikman's numbers weren't the greatest. Jim Kelly's numbers weren't the greatest. They were both first ballot Hall of Famers, and Joe Namath threw more interceptions than he did touchdown in his career, and he's a Hall of Famer. So,
yeah, Brett Favre was a gunslinger. I don't know. I heard this debate too, and I'm just like, no, there's no way he should be a Hall.
Talk
of Famer.
About.
Just no.
Talk about the NFL not wanting to give MVP to a certain player. Dude just got suspended 4 games for PEDs. And then all of a sudden he is Super Bowl MVP. Talk about being looking up to kids and, hey, kids, could be a Super Bowl MVP if you cheat, just so you know.
If you cheat. Hey, if you ain't cheating, you ain't
trying.
That's
my sign.
It's a friend of mine.
Yeah, that's so. What I go by, but yeah, man.
It's just a depressing Monday.
It is.
It just really is. If you're a Boston hater or you just don't like the Patriots or you're just tired of seeing the Patriots, I mean, it's the same story that we're going to run over. And it pissed me off, too. Listening to everyone say Rams are going to do this, Rams don't do that. I think we were talking about there's no need to fuel Tom Brady, like, or fuel the Patriots. Like, don't give them any reason why to do well.
No,
or like to feel like they're the underdog to prove something.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't think you should kind of leave anything out there like Nickell Robey Coleman when he's calling Tom Brady old and all that stuff. Like, just stop. Just no. Don't do that.
Yep.
So, I don't know why teams continue to do that.
They can do, and it's dumb. Doesn't make any sense.
I agree, man. But
what a depressing
week.
Yep.
Well, speaking of depression, we'll jump to the NBA real quick. I know you were a little pissed off, depressed, angry, pretty much every emotion possible. Friday?
I think it was Thursday.
Yeah. This is another thing too. Since when have you seen a Super Bowl week that was dominated by the NBA?
I don't know, and that's another thing that I'm thinking is just NBA is
taking over. I just think that the NFL, nobody gives a crap about the Rams, and everybody's sick. It's the same old with Brady.
Yeah, but not, I don't know. But it's fantastic to see the NBA kind of like, because I'm more of a hoops fan, so I'm like, I'm a little happier that that storylines took over the news. But I mean, it was kind of a crazy situation. I mean, what's going on is nuts. I mean, I'm just gonna jump right into it. I went through the five stages of probably grief, I would say, on Thursday when I heard about the Kristaps news. Really depressed, really angry to start off, bargaining and whatnot. And then I did hit acceptance later that day. But man, who the fuck do you think you are, Kristaps? You sit out an entire season due to injury. You don't even play more than 200 games. And you think you're the fucking salt of the earth? Yes, you were the great white hope for the New York Knicks. But I mean, come on. You don't like where the direction the team's going? We're fucking tanking for Zion, man. You're going to get a fucking awesome teammate.
Yeah.
And you're not even going to play. And what really bothers me too is like, I hear now that he's going to sit out the whole season. When he was with the Knicks, he wanted to come back and play. Oh, now all of a sudden he's fine with sitting. It's just ridiculous to hear this kid talk. And I really have a lot to do is blame with Carmelo Anthony, because that was his mentor that I look up to. I'm like, yeah, that's a fucking great idea.
Yeah.
Fucking A. Now I'm getting annoyed just thinking about it.
Yeah, no, Carmelo is not the person you want to look up to or have your young star look up to in their career. But I know you were very, very unhappy with the trade early on. Are you still feeling that way, or are you kind of changing your tune a little bit?
I'm changing my way a little bit. Seeing the money, the cap space that we have freed up, and it's tough. The trades, no one's going to really know the grade of the trade until this past off season, until July.
This coming off season, you mean?
Yeah, this upcoming off season. Yeah, it sounds like a shitty trade, but like to get the Tim Hardaway contracts off the book and the Courtney Lee off the book, you needed to. It needed to be attached. You needed to send over other young guys. I'm really happy that we got Dennis Smith Jr. in it, because he's the explosive type of point guard that you see now in the league. And I saw him play on the Sunday game, the matinee one. And it's just really good to see. Like, the problem with Frank Ntilikina is just like, he's good, but he doesn't attack the rim. So it's stagnant. So it's good to see this caliber player. It's weird to me to see DeAndre Jordan in a Knick uniform.
I thought so too, especially the other day when he was shooting free throws and like, who do I got?
Yeah. Yeah, he's new team, same old routine though. I mean, if it works for him, it works for him. If you're shooting the free throws, man, go for it. We got some draft picks, which is not really going to mean much, but because I can't imagine Luka and Kristaps being like, damn, that's a scary combo.
Yeah, but are they going to be kind of the same, like in each other's way? Are they kind of similar players?
Yes and no. I mean, you kind of saw what happened with Dennis Smith and Luka, actually. There's only one ball.
Yeah.
So it's got to go through whoever. And that's what kind of bothered me a little bit about having Porzingis, is that because he kind of played like Melo, where the ball's got to go through him. And I don't like that. That's not like the style of the NBA anymore. And another thing, like I mentioned, he's been in the league for 4 years now. Yeah. 2015 is when he got drafted. 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah.
He's played 186 games. You can be the greatest fucking player on earth. You could be better than LeBron. But if you can't stay healthy, then you're useless. Yeah,
can't make the club in the tub.
And he's a seven footer with leg problems. I mean, we've seen that happen. Bad things happen before with seven footers and leg problems. Yeah. So,
and I'm glad you're starting to come around to it, because I kind of agree now. Like, you still have Knox, right? So that's decent. You still got a good player there. You got room for two free agents, all stars, if you want them.
Yep.
A shot at one of the best drafts in recent memory. So you got a shot at one of the best players there. Now, like you said, this is going to be graded out, this trade, on who you end up getting this offseason in free agency. If you end up with, you know, Kemba Walker and
Tobias Harris.
That's what I was going to say. Tobias Harris or something like that, then not going to be too good. But if you end up with Durant and Kyrie, all right, then it's a phenomenal trade.
Yeah.
Because
now
you got two superstars, and I mean, you're instantly a contender if you do that.
In a weak East?
Oh, yeah. Very weak East. Plus,
I mean,
the NBA, man, when July rolls around, July used to be one of those months where sports just sucked. But
and died. No.
Now with NBA free agency, man, it's so much more fun. Teams just go crazy.
To be honest, I don't know if Kyrie's gonna leave or whatnot.
It's crazy that he has changed his tune a lot.
I don't know if he's like trying to fuck with people or whatnot.
He's a weird dude.
Because you gotta remember, like, he's just like, he either likes fucking with people, or like, I don't know. He plays it kind of close to the vest while also keeping, like, throwing out fake things here and there, in my opinion. But a lot of it's going to be graded on the draft and on, you know, free agency, what happens. I mean, it seems to me as the Scott Perry and Steve Mills, I think that's the organization, they're trying to get rid of all of Phil Jackson's like remnants. So as much as I love Frankie Smokes, Frank Ntilikina, he's going to get traded.
Yeah. I think they were trying to dump him in this trade here, but.
Yeah. So he's going to get traded, and he's going to go somewhere, and Enes Kanter is going to get traded. I hope he gets traded, to be honest. Not because, like, I don't like him. It's because I like him too much. He's a really good player, he plays with a lot of energy and a lot of heart, and I just want to see him go to a contender.
Get what he deserves.
Because we have four centers now, and I'm just like, fuck. We're back to this fucking problem where we have too many fucking centers.
Yeah, in a league that they're treated like dinosaurs.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was texting my one buddy that Luke Kornet's the other tall white guy who can shoot threes. I'm like, who needs Porzingis? We got freaking Luke Kornet.
Yeah.
The great white hype. But yeah.
Well, hopefully Knicks tickets will be cheap for you this year. So you can go down and catch some of the end games.
My pops was like, want to come down to see Raptors at Knicks? I'm like, yeah, maybe. I mean, how much? He's like, tickets are still like 50 bucks, which is cheap, but for Madison Square Garden, but you're still like in the nosebleed section, like the top. And I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, being a Knick fan fucking sucks.
So does being a Buffalo fan. I mean, the Patriots or the all of Boston has more championships in just 2018-19 than I've ever seen in my lifetime for my team. They have double, actually. So, yeah. Damn. Yeah, depressing. But one of the things I wanted to talk about, we'll kind of stick with the NBA here for a second. I've been reading that the Lakers and the Pelicans have been going back and forth on this Anthony Davis stuff. So Thursday's a trade deadline, right? Has it always been before the NBA All-Star game? I felt like it was always later and after the NBA All-Star game.
Did they move it up? I feel like
they did.
No, I think it's before.
Well, it might be, but yeah, do you think we get something done before Thursday's deadline?
No, I really do think I don't see why the Pelicans need to trade right now. Like I can't imagine seeing them rushing a deal to get anything done, because you could trade with Boston and get good assets from there, because Boston's one of the team that wants them, and they can't because of the whole Kyrie signing or signing trade whatnot, or when they sign because of the Derrick Rose rule.
Mm. Yeah,
I think you were telling me.
Yep.
Or some yeah. That they can't sign until then. So, it's just interesting to see. I mean, Lakers obviously aren't going to push hard.
I think they want to get a deal done now, though, because of that. They don't want to compete with Boston in the offseason, which, I mean, mm-hmm. I can't blame them, because you need to get it done or else you're going to start competing, and you can't compete with Boston's assets. They have too many. If you're competing in the offseason with them, then you're in some trouble. But at the same time, you don't want to give away too much of the farm, because then you got no depth in. I don't know. If you give up Ingram, Kuzma, Lonzo, and the number one, that is a lot to give up for him.
That is a lot. I mean, we know how well Anthony Davis is. I'm pairing him up with LeBron, but I mean, it's what happened. It's like what the what's it called? The Cavs did. I mean, they weren't as stacked, but
yeah. But then you got nobody. I mean, who's gonna be their point guard? Rondo and who else?
I mean, you have to pretty much go out after you deplete the farm. Then you have to go out and sign people or trade with other people, or like it doesn't make any sense.
I'm hearing some rumors that there's a lot of tension in the in LA. With, like, the front office?
With Luke Walton?
Well, that too, yeah.
Oh.
Luke Walton, definitely. Yeah. But just a lot of what to do, who to give up, who not to give up type thing.
It's true. And that's weird because, I mean, isn't it Magic or
Magic Michael Johnson?
Irvin? No, Michael Irvin. Magic Johnson. Yeah. Wow. That is a bad one that I fucked up. Magic Johnson. Yeah, I mean, like, don't people respect him and like what he needs to do?
Right, but he's not like also he's also not the GM. He's the president. He's
a president.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Rob Pelinka is the GM.
Okay.
So he's the one that actually, Magic basically calls the shots. Who are we kidding?
Yeah.
So and also now you have another shot caller in there too, LeBron.
He's the real GM.
Yeah. So I think he's also kind of causing some of this too, where he knows that he does not have much time left in his career, and this injury probably freaked him out a little bit. Like, damn, this can end any time here. I can get injured. I am human. Never had an injury like this before in my career. So I don't know.
So to reflect a little bit on the most recent, I guess, trade offer. The Lakers offer Ingram, Ball, Kuzma, Rondo, Beasley, Lance, and 2 first-round picks for AD and Solomon Hill via top ball cover at ball coverage. Pelicans are not taking that offer because they want to go after Jason Tatum in the summer, according to Felcher Markle.
What?
I'm reading this on Instagram. I'm like, are you cool? Maybe Kuzma and Ingram alone? Actually, because you could flip either Ingram or Ball or whatever you like, those, the just the top three right there. You could flip those for whoever you else want, because Ball doesn't want to stay in Orlando, in New Orleans. So you can probably trade him and get something else. Like,
I'm almost wondering if they're going to have to pull off like a 3-way trade.
They might have to.
I don't know, man.
But that's just crazy.
I'm kind of leaning towards you now. I was thinking this deal was going to get done, but now I'm kind of leaning the other way. I don't think it does.
Yeah. And it says here, Anthony Davis has given the Pelicans a list of teams he would re-sign with. The Lakers, Knicks, Bucks, and Clippers are the 4.
What was it? Lakers, Knicks, Clippers, and...
Lakers, Knicks, Bucks, and Clippers.
For Anthony Davis?
That's the places who he will re-sign.
Interesting.
So, like, if the Knicks... I fucking hope they don't do it. But if they, like, gave up Ntilikina, DeAndre Jordan, and Kevin Knox, and probably someone else, Mitchell Robinson, and, like, or first-round pick to get Anthony Davis. And then... that's your blue chip. That's your starting point to get Kyrie and Kevin Durant in New York. Like, I can see that happening.
I mean, it would suck. Can they afford all three, though?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Would you give up the your number one pick this year for Anthony Davis? It's tough.
That's like a really good question, because it's like you know who's good, like, right now. Like, I could, like, if you said, it's fucking tough because I know how good Anthony is.
And he's still young, but he's not, but he's also 6-7 years into the league already, too.
Yeah, he's experienced, and he's in his prime. He's entering his prime. So, would you give that first-round pick up for that? And then that's the starting point of, let's get some D, like, hey, Kevin Durant, we got AD here. Want to come play? Kyrie, want to come play in New York? I mean, it would be crazy if you could make a big three like that in New York.
Oh, yeah, I would. But,
but you're pretty much given up on Zion.
Right, but then also you don't know. Ooh. You don't know if Zion's going to be as hyped as he is. Like, dude still doesn't have a jumper.
That's true. Yeah, no, and that's very true. And it's like the same thing with Porzingis. It's just like, would you give up Porzingis for Anthony Davis? Yeah.
I would. Absolutely.
I know the Knicks definitely offered the Pelicans that. But the Pelicans knew or wanted commitment out of Porzingis, and Porzingis was probably not going to do that. So
yeah, and I just think LeVar Ball is really not helping these things either. Our boy LeVar's baller brand is striking again. He's out there. I think he's getting the vibe that Lonzo's on the trade block, and for some reason he doesn't want him to go to New Orleans. He wants him to go to Phoenix. Is what I'm reading.
Yeah. I don't know why Phoenix, other than just it's a rising place.
Yeah.
So.
But I don't know, man. I don't think this trade's going to get done, but a lot of people I'm reading out there think it will. So I don't know. Let's see what Woj has to say. I haven't seen anything from him come across.
Any Woj bombs?
Yeah. Well, just other than LeVar Ball tells ESPN that if Lonzo Ball is traded, he wants his son to go to Phoenix. We want to be in L.A., but if he's traded, I don't want Lonzo in New Orleans. Phoenix is the best fit for him. I'm going to speak it into existence.
How is that, like, the best fit
God,
for him?
God, I love this don't drama, though, in the NBA. This is great.
I know, it's so, so fucking great. This is why I like the NBA so much better sometimes than the NFL.
It's so player-driven.
Yep.
This is awesome. But, I mean, you almost – it's so weird because in the NBA, I don't have a favorite team. I have favorite players. And I feel like that's how a lot of people are. But in the NFL, everybody's all your favorite team. Like, everybody loves a favorite team. They don't really follow favorite players. So it's not as player-driven, but I wish it was, man, because this stuff is so interesting. But then at the same time, if you're a Giants fan or a Bills fan like we are, you're never going to get to know your team because it's going to change every year. And being in small market like I am, I'm always going to be like the Pelicans here where our team's going to suck. So that was it. But
I mean, so I just found this thing. Sorry to derail you a little bit here, but – from SNYTV Instagram account, a four-month-old baby in Boston has seen more championships than a 45-year-old Knicks, Mets, Jets fan.
Yeah, and me.
It is so sad. So sad.
And what, same as you? Because you are...
No, I see... I'm
Giants,
Giants,
Rangers, Knicks. So you've seen the Rangers in 94, technically?
Technically.
Two for the Giants.
I honestly don't. Two for the Giants. And I saw the Mets go to a World Series.
They didn't win.
They actually went to two.
Are you a Mets fan?
Win. Yep. I'm depressed. That's what I am.
Welcome to my life. I'm a sports fan, of course. Other than that, life is good.
Yes.
So. Let's see. What else? Props. That was the only other thing I wanted to touch on today. Was our,
our
props, and I think we kind of mentioned it earlier. We did pretty well. Called tails, hit the over on the national anthem, lost the Maroon 5 song, but we did hit the Gatorade. So,
yeah, that was a good one. That we hit the Gatorade.
Were our two Gatorades. So, did pretty well in the props game. Not so much, but hey. There's always next year.
Yeah.
Before we wrap it up, any early predictions for Super Bowl next year? Way too early predictions.
Predictions. I mean, can the Patriots do it again?
No.
No. I don't. I'm gonna say no. I think Kansas City can probably make that next step.
I agree. I like Kansas City. I think that's probably going to be everyone's pick, though. So I'm a little scared about that. But
and New Orleans is going to have a huge chip on their shoulder.
Okay. I think we agree then.
I mean, who else can I see? I can see the Packers making a couple steps in the right direction. But
I don't know.
It's really tough. I mean, I don't know. It's a good question. I other than the Chiefs and maybe your Chargers.
Maybe. I'm gonna stay with Chiefs and Saints right now. But it's gonna change. Yeah. I think the Rams are gonna lose too many people in free agency. Plus, their offensive line is gonna be a little depleted. Because they're losing off
a year old.
Yeah, they're losing a couple offensive linemen, older, like you said. So, yeah, I think the Rams are going to take a step back next year. Plus, the Super Bowl hangover from the team that always loses. Yes, I know the Patriots kind of defied that this year, but the Patriots are not a normal team. So, I think we're going to see kind of similar to how the Eagles were this year, is how the Rams are going to be next year, where.
Yeah,
they'll still be totally decent, but it's going to be a lot of fluctuating where, oh, they're back to the Rams of old. Oh, what's wrong with the Rams? Oh, back to the Rams of old. So I think that's what we'll see a lot next year with the Rams. And then ultimately,
maybe just sneak into the playoffs. But hey, we'll never know. So, well, we will know, but we'll see.
You know who's going to go?
Who?
I'm going to tell you that. Giants.
Giants and Bills?
Giants are going to be there. Giants
make
and
the
Bills.
Super Bowl. You know what the odds would be on a Bills Giants Super Bowl next year? It would be pretty insane.
Crazy.
Like, we just put $10 down, and I'm pretty sure insurance would, or our retirement would be doubled. So, yeah.
Awesome.
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it for the Super Bowl. NBA starting to heat up now, so that's getting exciting. And hopefully we'll have some stuff on the trade deadline that we can talk about next week. Maybe some big NBA trades on top of the already Porzingis trade that we have. So I'm excited, too.
I'm excited. NBA's upon us. And what follows up is March Madness. And I'm going to be it's Christmas morning.
I know, man. This is where I start to kind of – this is where I wind down, because I like to take it one sport at a time each season as I follow along. Now, February, I'll kind of wind down from football a little bit, start doing a little more research on the college basketball, and then NBA, and then usually around when the conference tournaments start is when I'll start playing around with the college basketball, and then after college basketball, we'll dip into the NBA, so... still fun times. Still got some sports going on. Sucks football is over till September.
Yeah.
But got a lot of September. Lot of drama coming up in the next couple of days, weeks, months here.
Definitely.
So, all right,
man.
We'll see you guys later. Thanks again for listening. Numbers keep going up. So, hey, we're doing something right, I guess. But
I guess so. People
yeah,
are listening.
No, they'll
awesome.
Be listening and check out your story that happened at the Super Bowl. So.
I'm telling you, it's the wildest story ever. I can't make this shit up.
I know, man.
Sorry.
But, all right, everybody, enjoy the rest of the NBA drama this week, and we'll be back next week. See you.
Next week.